Hi, I'm Willow Belden.
I'm Becky Jensen.
And I'm Angus Chen.
You're listening to Out There, the podcast that explores big questions through intimate stories in the outdoors. This is our advice segment, where we use wisdom from nature to sort out your most pressing personal questions. So, how's everyone doing today?
Great. Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm planning another outing soon this weekend. Some friends and I are going to go to out to Montauk, so the most eastern point of Long Island, and see if we can't catch a little bit of surf out there.
Yeah. Nice.
Cool.
How are you, Becky?
Oh man, I'm busy. It's good. Summer's flying by. It's awesome. I'm going to be playing volleyball in 97 degree weather tonight.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
I don't know if I envy you.
Kill
that.
Me
that
now.
Doesn't sound very fun. Oh man.
What's up with you, Willow?
Well, I am sort of returning to the land of the living. I had a really bad mountain bike wreck in June and ended up with a concussion and sprained ribs and soft tissue damage on my hip. And so, I didn't realize how much a mild concussion could really just take you out of commission for weeks on end. I mean, it's been like over a month now since it happened. Almost 5 weeks. It took close to a month before I was actually able to put in a full day of work again and like focus on things. And so,
can you imagine? I mean, I have a couple of friends who have, you know, who still struggle with traumatic brain injuries from having a rock hit their helmet or whatever. And you don't realize how much it affects your entire life until you experience it yourself.
Right. And I mean, I've had injuries before, but not ones that have affected my brain. And it's just a whole nother level of disconcerting. And, you know, you can't do things. It's kind of really weird. But anyway, I'm feeling a lot better now.
Good.
So my brain's pretty much back to normal. The ribs are still healing. So I'm not back to biking or climbing yet, but that'll come.
Yeah.
So
good.
We'll get there. Anyway, let's get to our question for today. And this comes to us from a listener who we'll call Mama Bear. Let's hear what she has to say.
Hi, Willow, Angus, and Becky. I have a question about children and nature. Day adventures used to be so easy before I had children. Doing anything with children adds some amount of stress. I have a 2.5-year-old and a 5-year-old. I want to instill in them a love for nature. It is very important to me that they enjoy the outdoors, so when they are older, they will have the incentive to take care of it. They love to hike, which involves short loops on clear dirt paths in the woods, and spending time outdoors, like at a farm or a beach. Prepping for a morning hike and the hike itself can be very tiresome, like any outdoor adventure. I find that I prepare for the worst. Extra food, extra water, extra clothing, extra sunscreen, extra bug repellent, extra bandage, which I end up carrying, just in case. If they get tired or hurt on the nature walk, I often end up carrying them. We need to be wary of ticks, and I think anything I see could be poison ivy or poison oak, because the problem with the poison ivy poem, leaves of three, let it be, I think everything has leaves of three, and so I should just let it be. And I do become reluctant to explore the slightly off parts of the trail for fear of contact with something poisonous. Do you have any tips for outdoor adventures with children? Have you ever brought a child on a hike longer than a mile? Do you have any fond memories from your childhood that connected you with nature that you would recommend? Thank you so much. Delancey, Samantha, I want to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for your help. We look forward to hearing your response.
Do you want to say bye? I said to teeth. Tootsie.
Bye.
Bye, Tootsie.
All right, bye, guys. Look Tootsie. Forward to hearing you. Your response. It's the cutest.
Right? This is our first advice question where we've actually heard from children here. Anyway, so that's what we've got from Mama Bear. One other thing I did want to mention is that we do know that Mama Bear is not a single mom. She's married. Her husband is an involved, loving father. So she is not in this alone. And I think that just might be important to know. So let's unpack this a little bit. Becky, you are the only one of the three of us who has kids of your own. So you are probably going to have the most insight here, I would imagine.
Well, yeah. You know, I might be the only parent among us, but I bet you guys have childhood memories that involve the outdoors. And you probably have friends with children and, you know, thoughts to share about that, too.
I think my biggest takeaway from watching friends who have children is that I never want to have kids of my own.
Oh, come on.
But it's nice to us to see their kids, but right, like, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Who doesn't it's enjoy like, okay, a good toddler tantrum on a nature walk? Yeah. You know, that's not appealing to you?
I don't know. I just don't think I'm quite cut out to be a parent, but that's okay. Other people have more patience than I do, I think. So, but in all seriousness, you know, it's not like Mama Bear regrets having kids. I mean, on the contrary, it's just that she wants to figure out how to, you know, navigate some of the aspects of parenting that are challenging, especially when it comes to kids and the outdoors. So let's go from there. Angus and Becky, what are your thoughts on her question?
Well, first of all, it sounds like Mama Bear is trying really hard to do everything just right. You know, that's what I tried to do as a mom when my kids were younger. And I see so many other parents doing the same thing. And I think it's biology that we do that to a certain extent. Because all of us, as you know, like mama bears and papa bears out there, we want to give our cubs like every opportunity and every advantage, and we want to keep them safe. And we can be kind of fierce about it too. So I totally get it. I totally get where Mama Bear's coming from. And my twin boys are 17 years old and seniors in high school this year, and I've spent a lot of time and energy trying to be the best mom that I could be for these two. And your heart is totally in the right place, Mama Bear. But if I could go back, like in a time machine, and give myself advice as a young mom, I would probably say try to maybe be a little freeform. And remember that parenting, this is for me, parenting is not a competition.
Becky, why do you say that? Why does like the idea of parenting as a competition stand out to you when you think about this?
So especially as a young mom, I would watch other parents, especially other moms with their kids, and I'd hear about their outdoor adventures and like their accomplishments, and I'd feel like I was never doing enough for my own kids because it seemed like I was comparing our experiences with other families. Yeah, and it seems like Mama Bear really does want to push the envelope with her girls, and I love to see that. She wants to get them outside, she wants to get them doing longer hikes and taking them on bigger adventures. And I might be totally off base here or projecting, but it feels like she might be comparing her family to other families too. And I just wonder if she sees other kids going on longer hikes than her own kids and feels that maybe she's somehow falling behind. But here's the thing with kids, and especially with little kids, what you're doing is adventure enough, Mama Bear. Like taking those little ones outside shouldn't be all about whether they can hike more than a mile, maybe. Kind of look at it as whether or not they're enjoying themselves.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And Becky, you talked a little bit about being more free form. I think that's a good idea too. You know, you want your kids to love nature, and there's a lot of things to do in nature that don't just involve hiking. You could Yeah, good point. I mean, yeah. Mama Bear, you mentioned that your kids love going to the beach or visiting farms. So do maybe more of that. You could take them to a stream and play around there, or look for salamanders or something. Or do things that are a little bit more active or service oriented, like collecting leaves or picking up trash, or any kinds of activities that can help expose kids to nature and instill a love of nature in kids.
Yeah, you know, for sure. Figuring out what your kids' interests are and do more things along those lines. And I know it can be hard when you have a 2-year-old, but kids tend to let you know, whether it's through their words or through their body language, you know, they let you know what they like and what they don't like, for sure. So you get the dead weight falling down tantrum meltdown, and you kind of have an idea like, maybe
this kid is not happy right now.
Yeah. But you know, bottom line, try to dial into what their natural interests are. Follow their lead on that.
So Becky, I am guessing, I mean, you're very outdoorsy yourself. I'm guessing that you had this same desire as Mama Bear to get your kids outside when they were little and to love nature. And I'm just curious how you did that. What worked for you?
Yeah, for sure. I had the same exact desire that Mama Bear had. But before I answer your question, I wanted to acknowledge what Mama Bear said, that doing anything with children adds some amount of stress. And it does. You know, it's just more complicated. There's just more things to do, especially when your kids are ages 2 and 5. And you do kind of have to prepare for the worst case scenario, you know, in case there's a meltdown and you have to bail off the trail, or if they get hurt. As moms and as dads, that's just what we do. So going back to your question, Willow, I mentioned dialing into their natural interests. So here's an example. My boys have always loved superheroes, especially Batman and Superman. They're their tops. And so when we went on hikes, they often, this is great, it's such a visual, but they often wore capes and masks when we went on the trail. And then we'd all get together and pretend like we were on like some kind of secret mission or something, you know. And so
I love that. Oh, that's my God. Awesome.
Except for one time, I did make a special cape for Dane one time that was this gorgeous green, like iridescent green fabric that he picked out at the fabric store, and he loved it. And then he got stung by a wasp because the wasps loved that color too. He was like a wasp magnet. So anyway, best laid plans.
Okay, so be careful about the colors of the cape.
Exactly. Black capes are amazing. Those are great.
Okay, so we're going to take a quick break now. When we come back, we will talk about the question of how much to push your kiddos to go farther and to do more. And for those of you listening without kids, there are some lessons adults can learn here too, so stay tuned. But first, a word from our sponsor. Support for Out There comes from Dish Outdoors, makers of the Tailgater Pro portable satellite antenna. The Tailgater Pro makes it possible to stay up to date on what's happening in the world while you're off on adventures. For many of us, summer is a time to head outdoors. Maybe you hit the road in a van or RV. Maybe you soak up the sun from the deck of a boat. Maybe you hide out in a cabin in the woods. Regardless, just because you're off the grid does not mean you have to miss out on the news or your favorite shows. Dish Tailgater Pro is a portable satellite antenna that lets you watch the things you love anywhere. It's rugged, weatherproof, and weighs just 8 pounds, so you can haul it around or mount it on top of your boat or RV and just forget about it. It doesn't need Wi-Fi to operate, you don't need to be a Dish subscriber at home to get Dish Outdoors, and you only pay for the months you use. Visit dishoutdoors.com to learn more and use the promo code PRO50 at checkout to get $50 off your Tailgater Pro and Dish Receiver bundle. That's dishoutdoors.com, promo code PRO50. And of course, we have a link to all of that on our website as well. And now let's get back to our discussion about kids and the outdoors.
One of the things I always tried to do with my kids was to make our outings fun. If it ain't fun, don't do it. You know, I yeah, I think that's true. You know, like as adults too, we do, sometimes we do these suffer fests, and I didn't want to make these outings for my little ones. I didn't want to turn them into death marches. You know, the first thing I would always do is I would try to set us up for success by doing things during the most ideal conditions possible. And what I mean by that is I made...
So don't go for a hike during nap time.
No, not during nap time. Nap time is sacred. So for mama too. So I made sure the boys were, you know, just speaking to that, it's like I want to make sure they were well rested, they were well fed. And I also didn't take them out when weather was miserable. You know, those little things made a huge difference. Especially when they were little, I didn't make our outings too long either. It's important to remember that when kids are small, they are physically small. Their legs are shorter. They have a certain amount of energy. So to them, smaller things are adventures. You know, you don't necessarily need to do adult-sized adventures with little kids. Again, I say at this age, the goal here is not necessarily to hike farther, but to instill in them that love for what they're doing.
Mm. So I have a story about that. And this isn't a story about me, because as we mentioned, I don't have kids, but it's a story that a friend of mine shared with me just recently. And this is a friend that I met on the Colorado Trail. We were both through hiking at the time. And she has two boys who are now in their 20s. And, you know, like for you, Becky, and Mama Bear as well, it was very important for her to get them to enjoy the outdoors. And they do. It's gotten to the point where, you know, their family vacations now often will involve backpacking or rock climbing or you know, something else totally adventurous. So anyway, I asked her how she managed to get her kids to that point. And she basically said just what you said, Becky, that you can't force things. You have to let them have fun, and you have to stop as soon as it's not fun anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, even if it means stopping 100 feet short of the top of a mountain, like if the kids don't want to go that last 100 feet, you say, okay, and you turn back. And I think that's really hard for us as adults, because we tend to push past our discomfort and say, okay, it's like 100 feet more. Like, we want to get to the top and see the view. But the kids don't necessarily care about the view from the top. And so, like, they don't have that same drive. So, you know, you turn around once they're, you know, getting to the point where they just are not having fun anymore. So anyway, so for example, she told me a story about when her kids were still pretty young. I think maybe they were six and nine or something like that. And they had gone on this little backpacking trip. And the first day, everyone had lots of energy. The kids were happy. Things were going really well. She's like super optimistic about this. And then the second day, they start hiking, and after just like a very short time, the kids said they were tired and they wanted to turn around and go back. And, you know, of course, she had planned this multi-day loop that she was going to do with the kids. And, you know, you can imagine as an adult, it would be kind of disappointing to turn back so quickly after you've planned this whole thing. But she... You know, when the kids asked to turn around, she immediately said yes, and she didn't push them to keep going when they didn't want to. And so the upshot of that was, you know, obviously, no, they didn't end up doing the whole route they were planning to do, but they did have a good time. The kids enjoyed themselves. And so the next time my friend wanted to take them backpacking again, you know, they were game to go. And now, and this is where it gets really interesting, I think. So now, fast forward to the present, the kids are grown up, and they are encouraging her to try new things. So, for example, yeah, right?
I love
so
that.
Her boys, yeah, her boys had both done the Colorado Trail, which is this 500-mile long hike. This is where she and I met. And they encouraged her to hike it, and she wasn't sure if she could do it. But she figured she would try, and she ended up doing the whole trail, and she loved it. And that was because her boys encouraged her to do it. And they also got her into rock climbing just recently, which is something she never thought she would want to do. But again, they encouraged her to do it. And she said, I asked her about this, and she said that her kids, when they're teaching her how to do something new, like rock climbing, they are just as patient with her as she was with them when they were little. And they make sure, they make sure not to force things and to give her space to enjoy what she's doing. And so it's sort of come full circle. I just feel like it's, I don't know, that's, I really love that story. Yeah.
This story makes me so happy. I love that.
Yeah. It's really nice because, like, she kind of let them go at their own pace, like whatever age they are, whatever ability level they are. And that worked out for them in an interesting way, you know?
Yeah.
Right. And now they're letting her go at her own pace, even though, you know, like, one of her sons is definitely, like, a stronger rock climber than she is. But that's okay. Like, he's like, yeah, we'll go at your pace and, like, do at your speed when we go together. It's really nice.
Oh, yeah, I just love that. You know, one other thing that I wanted to add is that whether or not you have a partner or you're a single parent, I really encourage moms and dads to do things one-on-one with your kids when you can. I remember when I was little, having one-on-one time with my dad especially was absolutely golden. I was,
yeah, because you came from a huge family. You had tons of siblings.
Oh my God, we were the Brady Bunch that had kids, had more kids after. So I was the youngest of 10 kids, and so it didn't even matter what we were doing. I mean, if I got one-on-one time with my dad, I loved the special attention, and I think it was because of that. That his love of, like, specifically gardening and his love of the mountains really rubbed off on me.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Talking about one-on-one time, if you have a five-year-old and then you have a two-year-old, their physical abilities are probably really different. So if you're going to separate them, you know, you could take the five-year-old out to do things that the two-year-old is not quite ready to do yet. And then you can kind of speed up the pace for one of the kids.
Yeah.
For sure. That makes sense. For sure.
So Becky, if you could go back, I was wondering if you would do anything differently. Like, are there things that you did that you regret?
Oh, things I regret? Definitely, for sure. Biggest regret is that I think I tried to control my kids too much. And it all came from a good place. It all came from a place of not wanting them to get hurt. But just like you, Mama Bear, I didn't want my kids to get ticks. I didn't want them to get poison ivy. I didn't want them to fall off the jungle gym. And so when we would go hiking or when we went to the park, I found myself, like, barking, "Be careful," like, way too much. And I often discouraged.
And it makes sense because kids are always doing things where you're like, oh gosh, you're going to kill yourself doing
this. Oh my gosh. I used to just look at parents who would put their kids on leashes and I was like, you horrible, horrible people. And then when I had two that were little Frankensteins running off in opposite directions, it was really challenging. And I did all those things, again, like I said, and I know Mama Bear has said the same thing, you just want to keep your kids safe. But if I had to do it all over again, and this is super important, here's another thing, I'm not joking here, I would also make them carry their own stuff in a little day pack. I would teach them early that we each carry what we need. And that can start really, really young. There was a point where I wasn't making my kids do that, and I just became so used to being the family Sherpa that they would just immediately, like, kind of come over to my pack and dig into my pack and grab snacks. And I was like, wait a minute, time out. next time we go out, you're carrying your own snacks, your own water, your own jacket. You know, and then as they get older, ask them to carry more, ask them to do more and to help out more, especially like if you're in the garden or when you're camping, because this is only going to give them like these wonderful life skills. And I swear, it'll save your sanity in the long haul. It did for me. I was becoming horrible as the family Sherpa. So lastly, if I had a redo, I would encourage my kids to get messy and make more mistakes. I'd let them, you know, I would just let them fall down more and get hurt more. Kids are pretty resilient. You know, if you let them make mistakes, then it's just one of the best ways for them to learn. And I know you don't want to see your kids get hurt. And I know there are ramifications for super messy experiences and injuries, but that's a huge regret of mine. I wish I would have let my kids just
do it more. But most of the time it's like they're going to fall down and skin their knee and you put a Band-Aid on it and it's fine, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Or they're going to get muddy and get in a mud puddle and stuff washes out.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah. I was going to say the same thing. I mean, you know, Mama Bear, you talk about poison ivy a bit and wanting to protect our kids from that. Poison ivy is definitely a nuisance and it can be dangerous, but it's pretty much always manageable. I got it a lot when I was growing up, and it never killed me, although I have had some pretty bad rashes. For this, I would actually say try picking up a plant identification book and getting more familiar with your local flora. Since you said, you know, everything seems to have three leaflets and, you know, you can't tell the difference between them. You know,
and when you're a parent, everything looks like it's poisonous or a death trap. Yeah. I mean, you are just constantly scanning your environment for stuff like that.
Yeah. But, you know, I think that if you start getting really familiar with the wildlife around you and learning to identify them, that'll increase your confidence in nature and give you some knowledge that you can pass on to your kids and sort of give them sort of more familiarity and more confidence to be able to explore and be able to protect themselves when they're in nature and avoid contact with poisonous plants in the future.
And as they get older, Mama Bear, I mean, I'm sure everybody's told you this, but it gets easier. It really does. So I enjoy this precious time while they're little. It goes really, really fast.
Mm. So just one quick story. My friend that I was talking about before with the two boys in her 20s. So she told me this story about how one time when they were backpacking, her older son wanted to take their water filter down to the stream and filter water. And, you know, she figured he's a little kid, like the water filter's complicated. He's probably going to like break something on the filter or lose a part or, you know, something like that. And so she's trying to figure out what to say to him. And she kind of thinks about it. And she's like, okay, well, we've got three options. I can either say like, no, you're not allowed to go do this and filter water by yourself. Like this is for grownups to do. Or she can say, yeah, you can go do it, but be careful about, you know, X, Y, and Z and make sure you don't lose anything. Or she can just like let him go try it and see what happens. And so, you know, she thought about this and she figured, okay, if worst comes to worst and the water filter, like, you know, he breaks something or whatever and it's totally unusable, you can always boil water to purify it. And they had enough fuel with them to do that. So she basically just like went out on a limb and said, yeah, like go for it. And so her son goes and he filters the water and he did it just fine. Like he didn't break anything. He didn't lose anything. And he felt really proud of himself. So like if you, you know, that's just to say, like if you take a chance on your kids, sometimes they might surprise you and handle things better than you think. And like not everything is going to go wrong that you think might go wrong all the time. Like that's just not how things work. So it's worth remembering.
I love this friend of yours, Willow, so much. She's like, she's all great. I can think about is she was willing to risk Giardia and intestinal distress to support her son. You know, this is Right. That's pretty amazing. That's a mother's love right there.
But again, I mean, she assessed it and she was like, okay, well, we can boil water if we need to, yeah, you know? Yeah. So it wasn't like a total, she wasn't being reckless, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So Angus and Willow, I'm wondering whether either of you have childhood experiences that you remember as being like particularly formative that, you know, shaped your love of the outdoors. What did your parents do?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. And it's a little bit difficult. So, I mean, Mama Bear, your kids are really little. And I don't really remember what my mom did when I was that little. So, you know, this is maybe these are maybe more helpful things for when they're a bit older. But I do remember, you know, when I was a little older, maybe 7 or 8, we would memorize poetry while we would go hiking. And I don't know where my mom got this idea, but
I love it.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. And I also don't know that it would work with every kid. But anyway, she would like photocopy a poem. And it would be something fun, you know, rhyming, like this is not like serious poetry here. It would be something fun, like, you know, one of the poems from Alice in Wonderland or something like that. And as we hiked, we would memorize it. And for whatever reason, I mean, maybe I was just like that nerdy kid that always liked words, but mm-hmm. I always enjoyed that. And the other thing that I always remember is that there was always chocolate at the top of a mountain. And, you know, this, it seems sort of like a little thing, but it was special because we never really had dessert at home. And so, you know, on a mountaintop, when there was chocolate, that was a special treat.
That is so cool. Your mom was, she was one smart lady, too. That's cool.
She was great.
What about you, Angus?
I can't really remember doing anything outdoorsy with my parents for the most part. Yeah.
Really?
I remember we went camping once. But my mom, well, I don't know, my sister says my mom didn't really like it. I was not present for this conversation, so I don't actually know why we never did it again. Although it was a really long time ago. My memory of it is very hazy. I almost feel like it's like one of those memories that I'm not even sure is a real memory. Because it was,
or if you were just like,
like, did we go camping? Actually, now that I'm talking about it, I'm like honestly doubting if we ever did it.
you made it all up.
I don't know. Loving being out in nature and going and doing things outside didn't come from my family, or didn't come from my parents for sure.
I think that's actually a really important point. Because, you know, Mama Bear, it sounds like it's really important to you to make your children share your passion for nature. But, you know, it's worth remembering that how your kids turn out is only partly the result of things you do with them. I mean, mm-hmm. Angus, you ended up loving the outdoors even though you didn't get lots of nature time with your family growing up. Like, that's just not where it came from. And conversely, you know, you can stack the deck in your favor, but you can't actually dictate what your kids are going to love. You know, one or both of them might just never become very outdoorsy because they are their own people. And while you can introduce other people to your passions, you can't force them to love the things you love.
You know, it's funny, actually. I just reminded me of a story that my girlfriend told me when she was little. She would always go chasing like frogs and amphibians in like the gutters and stuff, and her parents did everything they could to stop her from doing that, but yep. She became a wildlife biologist, so it didn't work.
That's great.
So again, parents, you know, you got some control, but only some.
Yeah, and I'm here to say, you know, I have my very own science experiment at home. I have twins. So, you know, Dane, for example, he developed this love of fly fishing. He's hiked a 14er with me. He likes to go camping. And Jake just isn't into that stuff. Although he does like to sit near rivers and he likes to ride his bike and take road trips to national parks. He loves that. But truth be told, he'd rather stay inside and beat me at Trivial Pursuit any day than go for a hike. So it comes back to this nature versus nurture question. And honestly, only part of it is going to be nurture. There's only so much you can do to shape what your kids will be into.
Mm. So there's one more thing I wanted to bring up, and that is, this is sort of shifting focus a little bit, but regardless of what you end up doing with your kids, Mama Bear, you are still allowed to have some time on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it sounds like you really have the urge to do some longer hikes and go on adult-size adventures. And, you know, that makes sense. So, you know, maybe leave the kids with dad occasionally or with a friend and go do a hike by yourself or hike with one of your friends at a pace that's challenging to you. And that way you won't feel so antsy when you're out with your kids. You know, so all of this is to say, just, you know, remember that not everything you do has to be done with your kids. It's okay to, you know, to be your own person sometimes and do things independently.
Yeah.
Agreed. For me, it's mandatory. You know, oh my gosh, I love my kids, but I'm a better mom when I take time for myself.
Okay, so Angus and Becky, any parting words of advice for Mama Bear?
I guess I would just say, you know, it sounds like you are a great mom and you definitely don't have to listen to anything that we say, so.
I would say also, Mama Bear and parents out there, be gentle to yourself when best laid plans with your kids in the outdoors go incredibly wrong, because they will. At some point they will. And as parents, we're all just doing the best we can. And, you know, keep pointing out the little things that bring you joy as you spend time with your children in nature. You know, name a flower, watch a bug crawl. Those little things plant the seeds of appreciation for the outdoors, and your kids are going to pick up on that sense of wonder that you have. And I think that is the magic right there. I think wonder is completely contagious.
Mm, so true. And, you know, one final thing that all, this is sort of a thought that all of this has sparked in me, is that kids seem to be really good at living in the moment, and stopping once they're not having fun. You know, like they don't push themselves past the point where they're not enjoying things anymore. And honestly, you know, even those of us without kids could probably use that advice sometimes. I mean, I certainly tend to push myself to reach goals, even if it means forcing myself to keep going with something after, you know, when it's not fun anymore. And I don't know, maybe if there's something that I'm going to take away from this, it's that it's sometimes okay to stop 100 feet short of the summit just because I'm ready to be done and I'm not having fun anymore.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck, Mama Bear. You're doing great, and best of luck with taking the kiddos outdoors.
Thanks for calling in. I loved hearing their little voices too. Your girls are so lucky to have such a loving mama.
Thanks for listening to this month's advice episode. For all the parents out there, Angus and Becky put together a list of books you might like to check out. You can find that at our website, outtherepodcast.com. And while you're there, consider making a contribution to Out There. This show exists for and because of you, and listener support is our most reliable source of income. If every listener donated $1 a month, we would be able to cover the show's expenses and compensate ourselves for the work we do. As is, even though Out There is a full-time gig for me and a huge time commitment for everyone else involved, we each take home an absolutely negligible amount of money at best, and often nothing at all. So, if you're enjoying the show and you have the means to contribute $1 or $2 a month, or maybe $5, head over to our website, outtherepodcast.com, and click support. Your gifts mean the world to us. If you'd like to ask Angus and Becky a question, just shoot me an email. Recording your question is always best because then we get to hear your lovely voices. But if you don't feel comfortable with that, you can also send your question in written form. My email is willow@outtherepodcast.com. And also, one quick note, we are absolutely thrilled to share our thoughts with you, but we also want you to know that the views and opinions our advice columnists express are personal to them. They are not a substitute for professional advice. If you're in a situation where you need psychological or medical help, you should consult with an appropriately qualified professional. That's it for this episode. Our advice columnists are Becky Jensen and Angus Chen. Our marketing and business development director is Alex Egerking. And our theme music was written by Jared Arnold. Have a beautiful day, be bold, go outside, and find your dreams.